have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And these losses still sting. It doesn't matter what tournament it is, if it's TBT or the NCAA tournament, it still hurts. Our beloved House of Pain team falling in the first round to the team from Jackson State,
alumni. That did not have a Jackson State alumni. Yeah,
they just shortened it, I think, on their jerseys, though. Real bummer. I will say their 5'3" point guard does give me a little bit of inspiration to one day pursue an athletic career. But aside from that, really just a big bummer.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't sting quite as much as last year's TBT loss when we had nothing else in sports going on. Fortunately, we also get to watch Team USA lose in basketball and the rest of the other Olympic disappointments. But
we're up 2 in water polo with 2.5 minutes. So.
That's huge. And fortunately, there's no depression kicking in like the NCAA tournament. But maybe we wait a couple days and then the real stuff kicks in.
Yeah, it gets worse.
That's kind of bleak. Do you think it's because we talked to Dom and Latulip before? Did we do something?
We reverse jinxed them. But look, I know we said it doesn't sting as much, but like we talked to Latulip, we talked to Dom. Like these guys took it very seriously, wanted to make the money, wanted to represent the orange and blue. Latulip has a full-time job talking about how the GM thing is like a 365-day-a-year thing, you know, full-time job. And these guys care. They tried hard, and it definitely stings. It's definitely a bummer that they had to bow out in the first round.
And it's really annoying, though, that we didn't get to see Andres Feliz play. I feel like if he was in the game, we win it. But I also just feel bad for BP3 because he obviously didn't have a great performance, but he switched teams this year to come play for the orange and blue after everyone else was kind of upset with him on Twitter last year, and this was not the result that he wanted. And that money is actually like a lot of money for these guys.
For anyone, yeah.
Anyone.
It's too bad that they couldn't put it together.
Dom still has a chance to get money.
Oh, yeah, the three-point contest.
A three-point contest this year?
Yeah, so he's going to, is it in
Dayton? Baby.
Dayton, yeah.
There's a three-point.
And he won the regional at Illinois.
Oh,
yeah.
The Paris of the Midwest.
Is that new? Is like the town of Paris, Illinois.
I love that. That's like a great idea, the three-point.
Yeah, thing. That's a first-year thing now.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't do it last year, but this year, he made like 8 threes in a row, I think.
I think it was 11, yeah.
Yeah, 11.
But check your facts.
Okay, well, go Dom. Hopefully he, you know, brings something home. But I can't help but think that maybe this is like karma. So it's a 15-2 upset. Maybe a little karma for rooting for Oral Roberts against Ohio State and 15-2 upset. I can't help but think maybe that came back and bit us. You know, Carmen's crew, they're moving on. They're a solid team, and maybe that's just a little bit of payback.
Yeah, and Dimitri McKamey was on Carmen's crew last year, and now he's on our team looking thick, looking big. I mean, he's pretty old.
Dad bods are in.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a dad.
How much more of the TBT are you guys going to watch, given the fact that the Olympics are on?
Ooh, very little.
If any.
I mean, I'd rather watch basketball than water polo. Norway versus France, I know.
So we're under a minute,
I know,
up one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should I do some water polo live commentary? I see a lot of freestyle stroke going on right now. I think they pulled the goalie.
Yeah, but I don't see much TBT watching, but it's still just kind of a bummer. But one thing I did love to see was how almost the entire Illinois basketball team came out and showed out, which that just, you love when guys, like we care about this university, and to see the players also care and drive to Peoria where there's literally not that much else to do other than watch TBT.
No offense to our Peoria listeners.
Yeah. This is from John Bayless. He made this comment that he said, is Kofi bad luck for Illini-related games that he attends but he doesn't play in? Because he was there yesterday and
FAU,
the game that he committed at.
He committed, yeah.
He committed, but we lost that game. So I can't help but think he belongs on the court.
Has he played in every game that he's been a part of at Illinois, like the last 2 years?
Yeah, he's never missed a game.
He's never missed a game. Should we talk about it a little bit? I know we're like a little bit late on this news. I feel like, you know, the news comes out, Kofi comes back, let everyone get their takes, their podcasts, their articles out, kind of let the dust settle, and then we kind of swoop in and we can talk about Kofi here a little bit. But I am so ready to eat my words. I think I said on this podcast a couple months ago that there's no way he was coming back. Admittedly, this was before the NIL law was into effect, so if, you know, I had known that that was going to be a thing, I probably would have, you know.
Yeah, no one saw that coming.
No one saw that coming, exactly.
That was sarcasm.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Sam. Hey, I'm more than happy to eat my words about that one. I could not be more thrilled about it.
Which one of us made that, like the Tour de France thing where the sign was like people? Yeah, okay.
I forgot what it was. What
goal,
was it?
Goal,
I think
USA.
The sign was like people thinking Kofi's coming back, and then like a bicyclist just like rode into it.
Yeah, that was
and
that's
then
a tough
the
look.
Entire race.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough look on my part, but I'm happy I can eat my words.
Yeah, it's a big goal for America up to.
But I mean, it's crazy. You go from being barely like an 8 seed bubble team to now you're a top 10 team. And
imagine having a worse offseason and then it's all settled just because one kid decides he's going to come back.
How many things did we do wrong for like that one thing to like negate it all?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they all balance out, right?
Well, that's what I'm going to ask. Like, if the offseason's kind of a scale, and you have Kofi on one side, and you have every other bad thing on the other side, where does the scale, like, is it balanced? Is it in favor of Kofi? Is it in favor of all the bad stuff? Where does that scale land?
What I will say is Kofi is not the only good thing on that scale. Right. I would also put Chester Frazier. He seems like an awesome assistant coach, though I would have loved to have kept our entire staff, but...
No, yeah, he's a stud, bona fide stud.
What about Tim Anderson?
We don't know how much the three assistant coaches like affected the game plan day to day. So like, we need to make sure that, like, it was obviously a big deal. We won all these games with these three assistant coaches. We want to make sure the continuity like continues.
Yeah, you can't fully evaluate the assistant coaches based off of recruiting or based off of like the offseason buzz. Like, you need to see how they game plan, how they adjust, because that was a great thing about Chin, Antigua, and Gentry was their game planning and their adjustments on the fly, like 2020 when we just kind of flipped the script
and
changed our entire
offense.
That was
like Kofi coming to our team obviously was like in line with Gentry joining the team in 2020, like when we started winning all these games in the Big Ten. So which one was it? Was it Kofi coming or was it Gentry coming? We're going to find out, I think, this season.
I did see something on Twitter yesterday that a handful of coaches were watching a tournament, Braden Huff and company, including Mike Young. And I was like, well, like, we don't have to worry about him. Like, Chester Frazier, he's going to be like, screw that, I got out of there.
I'm your daddy.
This is a better move, right?
According it's a Chester, sexier move.
It's a sexier move, yeah. Was that the words that he used?
Yeah, that ruffled some feathers.
Yeah, I love it. I'm sorry.
So, what were all the bad things that happened?
We named it.
Well, there's probably even more. Like, not getting Dawson Garcia.
So it starts with the tournament loss, right?
Yeah.
So you lose in the round of 32.
I guess that is technically
three assistant coaches leaving.
Yeah, I think before that, though, we lost Adam Miller.
Yeah.
Yes.
Obviously, Iowa going to the draft. That's a good thing.
No, that's a good thing.
Good thing.
From a roster perspective, we lost Jermaine Hamlin.
Yeah.
That was a moment of silence for Jermaine Hamlin. You just lost to Professor Hamlin.
Unbelievable Twitter comment. Yes, losing to Professor Hamlin. You know,
there's a lot of transfers that we just
made. It's kind of like when you experience a traumatic event, your brain sort of will not remember it intentionally, and we're sort of having a hard time bringing up some of these things.
There were so many transfers.
Well, okay, so transfers, recruits, like Ty Washington. Who is the other point guard from Texas Tech? Namari Burnett. Trey Mitchell.
The dude from...
Dawson Garcia.
The dude that we just... from Oral Roberts? Like,
Kevin O'Connor.
Oh, yeah, we kind of gave up on him.
Yeah.
Did we give up on him?
To get that other guy.
Maddie, did you know the whole... Do you know the Alan Hess story? Or
who's that?
God, he was one of the assistant coaches that we were going for.
Okay.
Yeah, he coached at Creighton.
Right, his kids were coming like and looking at schools in Champaign, in Urbana, like
Centennial?
All the surrounding things. And then he was also on a recruiting call recruiting for Illinois. Like as an assistant coach.
Was it Quincy Garrier?
Yeah, exactly. How much do you love that? I know that
he's on a Zoom.
You stay out of like reading
coach.
All the Twitter stuff, and like I know
is
you
that
never
tampering?
Knew that.
That was like his pilot, and we didn't get Quincy. So
I'm confused how that's possible. Any
he
of that
didn't sign
possible.
On the dotted line, and Creighton just gave him more money. It's so weird.
Interesting. He was doing free work for Illinois.
Exactly.
Thank you.
It didn't
sir.
Work. So
appreciate that.
It did not work.
Didn't work. And if we've missed, like, we're going to have to go back and listen to that episode where we talked about all the bad things right after the tournament. Like, we're missing some stuff.
Probably. I think, like, a lot of it is, like we didn't even, like, I didn't know who Dawson, I mean, like, I kind of knew who he was, but, like, if he was never rumored to go to Illinois, I would have been fine.
Right.
But, like, because you got my hopes up, and then, like, because I'm, like, you got my hopes up about assistant coaches and all that, then it just, like, seems so much worse when it doesn't happen.
Right, but the point of this whole entire thing was that it all sort of balances out now that we're a top 10 country team in the country. I'm saying that very conservatively, but like some people are going top five.
So do you think someone had said this to me the other day? They go like, I think we're a deeper team than last year, and I said, okay, deeper is one thing. Does that mean better though? You know, you have another year of Coleman Hawkins. You have Hutch, who's now playing. You have another year of Trent and DeMonte. Like, are you, and the transfers and the freshmen? Like, are you deeper? Maybe, but are you a better team? That's still to be determined.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can be a deeper team, not better, and still have a better outcome or result. I want to be a little luckier than last year, and I think the Loyola matchup wasn't great, and also just single elimination tournament, that's what happens. Like, I think this team can make the Final Four. I would still rather have the 2021 team.
We've learned nothing.
Yeah, I'm very ready to get hurt again.
The cycle, it's like, it's been 2 months after the game, or 3 months, however many, and we've just forgotten, and we're already ready to throw out these proclamations of Final Four, completely ready to get hurt.
I want to dive into the deeper comment. How are we deeper? Like, Hutch comes back, we have everything's like an unknown.
Yeah, so like we don't know if the freshmen are going to be.
We don't know if they're good or not.
We've got a legit backup five, which
that's
like,
good. That's good. Yeah. I think he's obviously I have my takes on Georgie, but he's a better he's an upgrade to Georgie, I think.
For the most part, I would say Georgie was better, like, instant offense. Yeah. Like, if you needed something to get you going, like the Ohio State game, he was huge. But
you have Kofi's minutes being, like, replaced, like, serviceably by someone that's just a little bit
worse. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, for your backup center, sometimes all you need him to do is play good defense, which Omar Payne, better rim protector, get rebounds, and just, like, be a roll man off the pick and roll with Curbelo.
So have we actually talked about, like, Kofi and the significance, aside from the fact that it makes us probably a perennial top 10 team going into the season? I mean,
it's wild.
It is wild. I thought there was just
no chance.
No,
but, like, for him himself, like, he obviously wanted to probably be a professional right now. The NIL helps a lot, so this is my say. Like, buy his stuff and every other player's stuff, because that allows other recruits to see that, NIL at Illinois works. But it's like he becomes...
Are we committing a recruiting violation?
No, we're not. We're telling people to buy our players' merch.
Well, was that a recruiting violation when his stuff went up? Okay, never mind.
No,
yeah, we don't talk about the player's trunk.
You had a bad dream.
The NCAA, if you're listening to this.
There's no way.
People were upset that he was selling, like, game-worn, like Big Ten championship stuff. No, let him make his buck if he wants to. But, yeah, that didn't happen either. I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's all a dream.
But, yeah, the significance of Kofi, it was a little weird seeing him go into the transfer portal for about 5 minutes.
and having a top three when you are enrolled at the University of Illinois, I think is certainly an interesting decision. I'm curious, and, again, I don't read the boards, but, like, where did FSU just popped up in, like, the last 2 days? Can someone fill me in on what the heck happened there?
I think it's just, like, they have developed people into, like, professionals, like NBA players.
Yeah, I think they've had, like, six first-rounders.
No, I'm not. I don't doubt. No, I know they're a great school, but, like...
I don't know the connection. I have no idea the connection. But, like, just FSU's not a bad school. They're a very good basketball school.
Their coach is very good. They have been in multiple Sweet 16s.
Yeah. Yeah, you know your stuff.
Right off the top of the dome there. They have been in the Sweet 16, I bet you that.
We have also been in the Sweet 16 in 2005. Yeah.
But, oh, my God.
But, yeah, that one, I would say my level of upsetness regarding him being in the transfer portal, maybe like a 2 out of 10. Like, it seemed like...
Some people
were
more.
He wanted some buzz around his decision back. But
it's that also. Imagine having all this opportunity... And, like, just making sure you're making
weigh your options.
You're he became the biggest storyline in college basketball because every single coach was probably calling him and saying, like, what do we have to do?
Yeah, it's weird that he didn't get more buzz. It's weird that there weren't more teams that were just, like, going all in on him. Maybe it's because their rosters were full, but...
That, and you have to think, like, the reason why he came back is NIL, right? Like, NIL allows him 110%. And so now we have to think about, where is he going to make the most money? Mm-hmm. He's not going to make the most money at Kentucky. Like,
there's some boosters there.
He won't go broke, yeah.
I think...
But, like, at Illinois, he develops his brand into just way more than it was.
The question here...
When he's, like, a star here.
Is how do you make money? This notion of, if you're just selling t-shirts, this notion of if there's a booster that is going to kind of write you a blank check. That's where it gets a little murky. It's like, how specifically do they take advantage of the NIL? In terms of brand, Kofi's been here in Champaign for 2 years. Everyone loves him. Sure, you can make that argument. But Johnny, with the whole booster thing, and I don't know how this works, if there are just some extremely well-off boosters that are like, yeah, we'll just kind of write you a check for $3 million, then the script flips a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of this stuff, that's what's hard to litigate or figure out, if there's any like under the table deals that have happened that was tampering. So that's why Kofi went there. But what I will say is him putting himself in the transfer portal, just it does take him down a notch from the IO level of just in our hearts. And like,
it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't here for NIL.
I know. But my point is that like, IO will always be at like the top of the mountain, and even if this team wins it all, like I'll still love IO more.
I think you'll be okay.
You got to look at what IO did at the start, deciding to come to Illinois. That also the context.
He's just too pure for you.
Yeah, exactly. Like
IO is the
he's the prophet of Illinois basketball.
He's the goody goody. Yeah, not Luke Goody, but he's like a goody goody. Yes, I agree. It is sort of hard to top IO, but fine, Kofi. If you win a national championship for Illinois, I think we can forgive you. Which. When he had that video and he said, I don't remember the actual words, but it's something like, I still want that national championship.
Oh, I have to look on my, so what we, is it, GarageBand?
We need to create a new intro. Last year it was IO, but first I need that national championship. Now it's Kofi saying, hey, I still want that natty. So look out for that soon.
Let me ask you a question, though. Is this one of those moments, one of those dominoes where we kind of maybe go from, we're more of a program that's back. We were a team that was back when maybe in 2020 we made the tournament, and then 2021 we officially back. We're a one seed, all this stuff. But now with Kofi, we're kind of consistent success, and hopefully, I don't know, it's going to be a weird landscape going forward with NIL and how you recruit transfers, and maybe you just need to like shuffle the deck every year. But are we kind of back in that regard?
Let's like make a Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah. I think,
and maybe like a center commit that's in the top like 100.
I think the transfer rule helps. Like, I think it kind of limits, like, if you have a terrible recruiting year, you can still like pitch guys maybe even better on getting immediate playing time.
Bit, yeah.
But I think like the results at the end of the season does matter. Like UCLA not on anyone's radar, 11 seed. Now everyone's freaking out because they've got guys coming back. So I would like to make a Sweet 16. That'd
and
be nice.
2 5-stars?
And a few 5-stars.
Yeah, 5-stars would be nice. But your notion of shuffling the deck every year, like, this is probably going to be the new normal in terms of how off seasons look. Like, there's going to be a surprise transfer. There's going to be guys that are going to come in and out and stay because of the NIL that would otherwise leave, and vice versa. And it's like, if you can sort of get okay to the discomfort of the roster shuffle every year, you can still be in a really good position.
Which is weird. It'll be interesting to see how that goes on the football side, because the entire team development is waiting 4 years for a guy on his fourth year after a redshirt year, and then redshirt sophomore, and then finally they break out in their fourth year. Is that going to... It'll be interesting
to
see.
You want to ask Brett that in an hour? We're about to... So after this podcast, we're heading to the Cubs game. There's a little pregame party at a bar at Wrigley there. We're going to be meeting Curbelo and Bielma. So I don't know, should we ask them some questions? Like, if you guys could each ask them a question. Here's what I'll say. Nothing is off limits. You're in an environment where they have to be 100% honest. They have to answer the question. They don't get in any trouble for answering it. What question are you asking Curbelo and Coach Bielma?
I feel like this is like a iffy question to say. Actually, no, it's not that bad. I would probably ask Bielema, like, our last two football recruiting classes, I think, netted out at like around 85th, maybe like 88th and 72nd or 73rd. How, I want to ask him, like, is it really that hard to top that? Or like, have you come in and been like, what a joke?
What was that in-state recruiting like?
There was
just
no
giving a phone call. Was it that difficult?
Where the Illinois high school coaching coaches association quarters it,
and they will go bananas.
Have Pat Ryan do a few cute poses in it.
They will go wild.
They love it.
They love
the coaches.
They love it. They love it. That's a good question. What else? I know I'm kind of putting guys on the spot here. I think I would honestly ask Curbelo just like, what the heck happened with Adam Miller? Like, is there specifically with Underwood some sort of rift?
That's a good question.
I would like to know what sort of drama went down there. Again, he started every game, played extremely well. has a very solidified role going into his sophomore year in Illinois. And then, hey, chooses to leave, which, I, you know, no criticism talking about reshuffling of the deck every year, but I'd love to know what happened.
It seemed like he was blindsided when it happened. Like, I remember Coleman Brad? Hawkins, too. No, Curbelo.
Oh, okay.
And, like, Coleman Hawkins made an Instagram story, like, what is this real or something? And even still, during the transfer portal part, there was a time where he was thinking about coming back to Illinois. Sure. So,
you know, another thing about Adam that I feel like Brad won't get a ton of credit for is he made the Olympic team this year. He was obviously very talented before. But, like, if he, like, didn't do well at Illinois or if he had a terrible year, he wouldn't have made the Olympic team. It's like,
well,
that's
not
something.
The Olympic team. It's
not the Olympic team.
U19. Yeah, that's a good point.
U19 team. Yeah, he played extremely well because of Brad's coaching and tutelage. And
tutelage.
That's one of your favorite words.
Yeah. It is. Every time I use that word, they'll be like, you use tutelage.
I think what have we had, like 30 episodes, and you've probably used tutelage maybe in 12 of them.
Wow.
Okay, another question I would love to ask Brett is, I would love to really know what our schemes are. We still don't 100% know.
Multiple
offense and defense. Oh, you're saying that's what the defensive scheme is?
Yeah.
We're going to run a 3-4. We're going to run a 4-3. We're going to be versatile on offense and defense. And we're
where
from
are you
Provincetown.
From, by the way? That was my next question.
Yeah, where were you born?
I was born in Atlanta Hospital.
Yes, that's an easy one. That's a good question. And we're going to probably have to wait until August 28th whatever the day is.
In really specific, I'm going to ask him why Cooper Davis switched from linebacker to tight end. Yeah. I still don't understand
that.
That
would be a good
one.
Question to ask, like, yeah, a really specific roster question. That he's like, this guy knows his stuff.
Okay, should I do it then? Like, if we see,
yeah, you should do that.
A super, okay. Like a really minute, specific.
What do you think Marques adds to the tight end room?
Preston Angle.
Why was Isaiah Williams at the party for wide receivers and quarterbacks?
Who is that guy on the right?
Quarterbacks. Who is the guy on the right? Please help us find this man in that picture. We was it Joey that solved the case?
Yeah,
Joey Wagner
solved it. It's a Miles Scott.
Miles Scott. The TV. I think there's like legit talking. Did an assistant coach.
Yeah. What happened was there's been like the wide receiver pictures at George McDonald's house, like saying like
you've seen it.
Yeah, you've probably
you've
seen
probably
it.
Seen
probably
it.
Seen
it's probably
it
on your fridge by
but
now.
But like we were trying to figure like we're trying to like test our Illini knowledge and try to figure out who is in each of these pictures, and there's just one guy consistently popping up. It was a walk on that was added this summer. So that's why we didn't know. But
it was all like all the rage in the Illini group.
I couldn't
text.
Work for like 2 hours.
I mean, people were talking like there was a little newspaper article. It was just
I was working, if you listen.
It was a big deal, but we figured it out. So that would be a good question, basically like a very specific, this guy,
I think you should
be like, this guy's a psychopath. Yeah. Like, oh my god, how does he know this? Like, that's a good question.
Oh, and you know who else is gonna be at the Brick House, is along with Curbelo and Bielema, is Omar
Payne.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I might ask him about that Alvo.
Oh,
yeah.
That's probably one of those off limits questions, but that would be a fun one. Like, yeah,
well,
what were
these
you
are the off limits.
Right. Yeah. Like, why?
Josh, what have you said your question yet?
No, I haven't. I'm trying to think of one. I can't think of it.
Do you want me to stall for a little bit?
Yeah, stall for a little bit longer.
The boardroom is brought to you by.
One thing I am curious to definitely, like, and this would be like a long, long answer is, I want to know, like, what was said in some of the spring meetings, because you'd, like, guys transfer, you'd guys switch position, like Isaiah Williams. I wonder if they were just like, listen, like, we're not rocking, like, we don't see you as a fit at quarterback, or, like, we brought in Art. We're not sure if...
I want to say that Isaiah, from what Brett said, Isaiah initiated said, like, I want to play wide receiver.
I think if he wants to be in the NFL, and I think I said this on the podcast, if he wants to make millions of bucks in the NFL, it's at wide receiver. It's just not at quarterback. That's the reality of the situation. And maybe that's not that hard of a compromise to be like, fine, if I want to go play in the NFL and reach my dream, I get to play wide receiver instead of quarterback. But that still takes so much maturity from him.
And to stay at Illinois.
To stay at Illinois, you're kind of recruited to be that guy, to be one, you know, with a capital O, and then to say like, fine, I'll step down from that position, that role. And be receiver takes a lot of heart.
Yeah, I think he's a really mature kid, and he can hang his head high. On in his start at quarterback, he broke the rushing record.
Yeah.
And then he also kind of started against Penn State. That one, not as great. That's like real competition. And now let's see what you can do. He's still technically a redshirt sophomore, so he has time now to grow as wide receiver.
All right, Josh.
Oh, I would also love to ask, what was the conversation like to get Casey Washington to re-transfer back?
He lost his number, though, Casey.
Yeah.
I would just ask Curbelo about expectations of the season, and not like the general bland question that you'll get from a national reporter. Just more of like specific, like how does the team? Well, now I feel like a general national.
Talk about the expectations.
No, but he also. This is actually what I want to know about. He came from Puerto Rico, got an adopted family or what is it?
Yeah, he was
like
with a host family.
Host family in New York, and I wonder how much he knew about Illinois basketball going into like his like recruiting process. He obviously had a connection to Antigua,
Orlando, yeah.
Antigua that brought him over here, but like did he know Illinois basketball? Obviously during the years he was probably in high school and late middle school, he was like we were bad at basketball, so yeah, we had to figure out how did he know that he wanted to go to Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't watching us during the tournament. I know that he was a Duke basketball fan growing up. That's what he said, and he was excited to play at Cameron. But I'm guessing he probably didn't know a whole lot in Orlando, knowing his dad, and he trusted him, and he trusted the offense. But now he's a steward of Illinois basketball.
Yes, he is.
I would also like to ask him, maybe are you going to cut the hair? At least the sideburns a little bit, you know?
I like the fro.
We'll see what he looks like at first pitch today. Any other burning questions? Again, nothing's off limits here. It's Curbelo and Bielma after dark that we can ask them anything you want.
I just want Sam to go in knowing everything about Prophetstown, Illinois, and then pretend that he's from Prophetstown, Illinois, and then them to have like a long conversation about it.
If anyone is from Prophetstown, Illinois, please reach out. I'd love to get kind of like the lay of the land, the local watering hole, just kind of what.
Yeah, there's no. There's not.
Oh, maybe we can ask him to see his Hawkeye tattoo.
I was thinking about that. Yeah. I don't.
We should ask him, do you know that like tattoo remover exists?
That's a service that exists.
There's like you can make a pledge and show how much you love Illinois right now.
It's like the reverse when Louisville won, you know.
Rick Pitino
got a tattoo. It's like if Illinois wins like the Big Ten, he gets the tattoo removed.
Yeah,
that's what we got to do.
That's.
Well, maybe we can make that bet with him right now. Yeah,
yeah. That's what we got to do.
We coach under Hayden Ron. He's a great influence in Iowa. So.
Then I went to Bill Snyder at Kansas State. Then I went to Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin.
I think we can just roll like what is it like B-roll of them just doing their like
Brett Bielema
impression.
One thing I would like to ask Curbelo too is just hear who he thinks among the freshmen is really going to make an impact, because that's such a question mark. And he scrimmaged against those guys. Maybe it's RJ Melendez. Maybe it's Luke Goody. Maybe it's Brandon Pajimski. I saw some NBA draft. I don't know if it was Andrew Slater or someone who had their 2022 mock draft. They had Curbelo ranked 21st. They had Kofi ranked 45th. And then they had Brandon Pajimski ranked 38,
which would be amazing.
Well, it's also insane to think that Brandon Pajimski, who hasn't played a minute of high school
of
college basketball, is ahead of an All-American in Kofi Coburn.
We do have to just keep it on our radar that Curbelo, if he has the season that we want him to have, will not be in Illini after this year.
Yeah, let's go. That would be when we say all the good things and the bad things. Next year, like we did this year, when Curbelo leaves, it will be a good thing.
And you know what's a good thing that we didn't talk about is who's going to come in and replace him, and that's Jaden Epps. And that was a great recruiting win by Chester Frazier.
Yeah, I'm just thinking recruiting. Wasn't he? Oh, he's 2022. Good.
Yeah, all right, good. Yeah.
So he'll be on the 2022-2023 team.
Yeah, he'll be on next year's team.
Yeah. All right, awesome. That's sick. Yeah, great recruiting win by Chester. That's also something positive that happened that we didn't discuss, but it's I'm excited for him.
And that's one thing about building the program is just like have the torch passers. You pass from Io to Curbelo, then you pass from Curbelo to Jaden Epps, just like you did back in the day when it was McKamey giving it to Brandon Paul, who then didn't have anyone to give it to, so he gave it to Jalen Tate.
Oh no.
Hopefully we can get this consistent role of, okay, like we have a point guard, we have a big man, and
We do need that big man.
Omar Payne next year.
That's true. He does have two more years of eligibility.
Any other questions? I've written all these down. I'll get out my piece of paper
and we'll let everyone know how they went.
Yeah. Okay. We would certainly be remiss if we did not end by talking a little bit about Bobby Rountree. And look, it's going to be impossible to appropriately eulogize Bobby and what his impact on a lot of us. The whole Illini community meant to us, but Yeah, I'm struggling to talk about it. It is hard to say the impact that he had. So if anyone has anything, I just feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't mention it.
Yeah, I mean, he was just a great kid, and really, when faced with adversity, really just came with positive attitude, and you could tell how much he influenced the team and influenced a lot of people's hearts and minds about, I don't know, fighting something as difficult as being paralyzed. And I don't know, when he was on campus, he was really like a model player, model student. I remember running into him and just kind of chatting him up and being like, hey, next year, if you have a big year, you're going to get in the draft. Like, you are a defensive MVP as a sophomore. And he's like, yeah, hopefully. Austin Clark's been getting on me all spring ball. And it was really tough to not see him get to live out his dreams in that way. But one thing I loved about him, too, was he was really like an Illinois guy. He was the dude who was hosting kids on recruiting visits. Like, you could tell he really loved the university, bought into what Lovey was selling. And it's just so unfortunate what happened. And then you really saw his character come out after the accident, and he was still just pushing, fighting. Like, he just had a lot of strength. So it's a real tragedy and bummer that his life was cut short. And I know Sam and Maddie, you guys had a very personal experience with him, taking a class with him.
Yeah, he was a funny guy. He was a funny kid. He was just a lighthearted, good guy, and he just sort of lightened the mood when he walked into the room.
Yeah, I think when he was like a freshman or sophomore, he also came to our fraternity for like a few parties. Yeah. And I just remember him like being hilarious and being like a total character.
Yeah,
but not like in a character in a bad way. No. You know, like, just kind of like walking
great
around.
Presence.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's a good way. One thing that I will say that I feel like really grounded me was he would post on Instagram every weekend or every Friday afternoon. It'd be like, earn your weekend, with a video of him working out. And I would always watch that, either like coming home on the train from work or getting out of class. And it would always remind me just not to take things for granted, right?
Exactly.
Like, this guy is working so hard and thinking like, okay, man, we kind of got it easy. And just realizing and being thankful for what you've got, the people you've got around you, all of that stuff. And I think that notion of, you know, earning your weekend or earning whatever it is that you have and not taking it for granted, it is a lesson that I'd like to keep moving forward and sort of honoring Bobby in that way of just earning your weekend and earning everything you do and not taking those little things for granted. And so
yeah, those Friday videos were just like the motivation you needed, or if there was something like troubling going on in your life, you had to always think about like how like minuscule that kind of is in your life. But yeah, it's really sad, and I'm just thinking about him, his family, and his teammates.
Yeah,
and that's another real bummer with COVID, was he was supposed to be back on the sidelines this year, and you just wonder if things would have been different with who the healthcare professional is taking care of him, or just what his life would have been like had he been able to be a student in person and be on the sidelines with that team. What would his 2021 have looked like? Maybe it would have been different.
That FaceTime after that game was awesome. Yeah. That was retweeted. That was
so
cool.
That's a top video.
That was him coming to the Northwestern game before, like surprising the team.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. So like I said, you know, impossible to properly eulogize Bobby Rountree, but, you know, again, remiss if we didn't, you know, take this opportunity to say the impact that he clearly had on us, on the Illinois community, and will continue to have indefinitely on all of us. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.